Chapter 18. Flying round and round the cuddy, screeching like a cockatoo. The next bump knocked her clean under the cabin table. It also started the stern post and carried away the rudder, and then that brute ran up a shelving, rocky shore, tearing her bottom out, till she stopped short, and the foremast dropped over the bows like a gangway. Anybody lost? I asked. No one, unless that fellow, Wilmot, answered the gentleman, unknown to Miss Lang, looking round for his cap. And his case was worse than drowning for a man. Everybody got ashore all right. Gale didn't come until next day, dead from the west, and broke up that brute in a surprisingly short time. It was as though as he had been rotten at heart. He changed his tone. Rain left off? I must get my bike and rush home to dinner. I live in Herne Bay, came out for a spin this morning. He nodded at me in a friendly way, and went out with a swagger. Do you know who he is, German? I asked. The North Sea pilot shook his head, dismally. Fancy losing a ship in that silly fashion. Oh dear, he groaned in lugubrious tones, spreading his damp handkerchief again like a curtain before the glowing grate. On going out I exchanged a glance, and a smile strictly proper, with the respectable Miss Lang, barmaid of the Three Crows. A desperate tale, an anarchist, that year I spent the best 2 months of the dry season on one of the estates, in fact, on the principal cattle estate of a famous meat extract manufacturing company. B.O.O.S.O.S. You have seen the three magic letters on the advertisement pages of magazines and newspapers, in the windows of provision merchants, and on calendars for next year you receive by post in the month of November. They scatter pamphlets also, written in a sickly enthusiastic style and in several languages, giving statistics of slaughter and bloodshed enough to make a Turk turn faint. The art illustrating that literature represents in vivid and shining colors a large and enraged black bull stamping upon a yellow snake writhing in emerald green grass, with a cobalt blue sky for a background. It is atrocious, and it is an allegory. The snake symbolizes disease, weakness, perhaps mere hunger, which last is the chronic disease of the majority of mankind. Of course everybody knows the B0S Limited, with its unrivaled products. Bonobos, Jalibos, and the latest unequaled perfection, Tribos, whose nourishment is offered to you, not only highly concentrated, but already half digested. Such apparently is the love that limited company bears to its fellowmen, even as the love of the father and mother penguin for their hungry fledglings. Of course the capital of a country must be productively employed. I have nothing to say against the company, but being myself animated by feelings of affection towards my fellow men, I am saddened by the modern system of advertising. Whatever evidence it offers of enterprise, ingenuity, impudence, and resource in certain individuals, it proves to my mind the wide prevalence of that form of mental degradation which is called gullibility. In various parts of the civilized and uncivilized world I have had to swallow B0S with more or less benefit to myself, though without great pleasure. Prepared with hot water and abundantly peppered to bring out the taste, this extract is not really unpalatable. But I have never swallowed its advertisements. Perhaps they have not gone far enough. As far as I can remember, they make no promise of everlasting youth to the users of B0S, nor yet have they claimed the power of raising the dead for their estimable products. Why this austere reserve, I wonder? But I don't think they would have had me even on these terms. Whatever form of mental degradation I may, being but human, be suffering from, it is not the popular form. I am not gullible. I have been at some pains to bring out distinctly this statement about myself in view of the story which follows. I have checked the facts as far as possible. I have turned up the files of French newspapers, and I have also talked with the officer who commands the military guard on the Isle Royale, when in the course of my travels I reached Caen. I believe the story, to be in the main true. It is the sort of story that no man, I think, would ever invent about himself, for it is neither grandiose nor flattering, nor yet funny enough, to gratify a perverted vanity. It concerns the engineer of the steam launch belonging to the Marin and Cattle estate of the B0S Company Limited. This estate is also an island as big as a small province, lying in the estuary of a great South American river. It is wild and not beautiful, but the grass growing on its low plain seems to possess exceptionally nourishing and flavoring qualities. It resounds with the lowing of innumerable herds, a deep and distressing sound under the open sky, rising like a monstrous protest of prisoners condemned to death. On the mainland, across 20 miles of discolored muddy water, there stands a city whose name, let us say, is Horta. But the most interesting characteristic of this island, which seems like a sort of penal settlement for condemned cattle, consists in its being the only known habitat of an extremely rare and gorgeous butterfly. The species is even more rare than it is beautiful, which is not saying little. I have already alluded to my travels. I traveled at that time, but strictly for myself, and with a moderation unknown in our days of round-the-world tickets. I even traveled with a purpose. As a matter of fact, I am a desperate butterfly slayer. Ha, ha, ha. This was the tone in which Mr. Harry G., the manager of the cattle station, alluded to my pursuits. He seemed to consider me the greatest absurdity in the world. On the other hand, the B.0.S. Company Limited represented to him the acme of the 19th century's achievement. I believe that he slept in his leggings and spurs. His days he spent in the saddle flying over the plains, followed by a train of half-wild horsemen, who called him Don Enrique, and who had no definite idea of the B0S Company Limited, which paid their wages. He was an excellent manager, but I don't see why, when we met at meals, he should have thumped me on the back, with loud, derisive inquiries, "How's the deadly sport today? Butterflies going strong?" Ha, 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 especially as he charged me $2 per diem for the hospitality of the B0S Company Limited. Capital L1,500,000 fully paid up, in whose balance sheet for that year those monies are no doubt included. I don't think I can make it anything less injustice to my company, he had remarked, with extreme gravity, when I was arranging with him the terms of my stay on the island. His chaff would have been harmless enough, if intimacy of intercourse in the absence of all friendly feeling were not a thing detestable in itself. Moreover, his facetiousness was not very amusing. It consisted in the wearisome repetition of descriptive phrases applied to people with a burst of laughter. The desperate butterfly slayer, ha, 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 was one sample of his peculiar wit which he himself enjoyed so much. And in the same vein of exquisite humor he called my attention to the engineer of the steam launch, one day, as we strolled on the path by the side of the creek. The man's head and shoulders emerged above the deck, over which were scattered various tools of his trade, and a few pieces of machinery. He was doing some repairs to the engines. At the sound of our footsteps he raised anxiously a grimy face with a pointed chin and a tiny fair mustache. What could be seen of his delicate features under the black smudges appeared to me wasted, and livid in the greenish shade of the enormous tree spreading its foliage over the launch moored close to the bank. To my great surprise, Harry G. addressed him as Crocodile, in that half-jeering, half-bullying tone which is characteristic of self-satisfaction in his delectable kind. How does the work get on, Crocodile? I should have said before that the amiable Harry had picked up French of a sort somewhere in some colony or other, and that he pronounced it with a disagreeable forced precision, as though he meant to guy the language. The man in the lodge answered him quickly in a pleasant voice. His eyes had a liquid softness, and his teeth flashed dazzlingly white between his thin, drooping lips. The manager turned to me, very cheerful and loud, explaining. I call him Crocodile, because he lives half in, half out of the creek. Amphibious, see? There's nothing else amphibious living on the island except crocodiles. So he must belong to the species, eh? But in reality he's nothing less than un citoyen anarchist de Barcelon. A citizen anarchist from Barcelona? I repeated, stupidly, looking down at the man. He had turned to his work in the engine well of the launch, and presented his bowed back to us. In that attitude I heard him protest, very audibly. I do not even know Spanish. Hey? What? You dare to deny you come from over there? The accomplished manager was down on him truculently. At this the man straightened himself up, dropping a spanner he had been using, and faced us, but he trembled in all his limbs. I deny nothing, 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 he said, excitedly. He picked up the spanner, and went to work again without paying any further attention to us. After looking at him for a minute or so, we went away. Is he really an anarchist? I asked, when out of earshot. I don't care a hang what he is, answered the humorous official of the B0S Company. I gave him the name, because it suited me to label him in that way. It's good for the company. For the company? I exclaimed, stopping short. Aha, he triumphed, tilting up his hairless pug face and straddling his thin, long legs. Tea that surprises you. I am bound to do my best for my company. They have enormous expenses. Why, our agent in Horta tells me they spend £50,000 every year in advertising all over the world. One can't be too economical in working the show. Well, just you listen. When I took charge here the estate had no steam launch. I asked for one, and kept on asking by every mail till I got it, but the man they sent out with it chucked his job at the end of 2 months, leaving the launch moored at the pontoon in Horta. Got a better screw at a sawmill up the river, blast him. And ever since it has been the same thing. Any Scotch or Yankee vagabond that likes to call himself a mechanic out here gets £18 a month, and the next you know he's cleared out, after smashing something as likely as not. I give you my word, that some of the objects I've had for engine drivers couldn't tell the boiler from the funnel. But this fellow understands his trade, and I don't mean him to clear out. See? And he struck me lightly on the chest for emphasis. Disregarding his peculiarities of manner, I wanted to know what all this had to do with the man being an anarchist. Come, jeered the manager. If you saw suddenly a barefooted, unkempt chap slinking amongst the bushes on the sea face of the island, and at the same time, observed less than a mile from the beach, a small schooner full of niggers hauling off in a hurry, you wouldn't think the man fell there from the sky, would you? And it could be nothing else, but either that or Cain. I've got my wits about me. Directly I sighted this queer game I said to myself, escaped convict. Apostrophe apostrophe I was as certain of it as I am of seeing you standing here this minute. So I spurred on straight at him. He stood his ground for a bit on a sand hill crying out. Monsieur! Monsieur! There it is. Apostrophe then at the last moment broke and ran for life. Says I to myself, I'll tame you before I'm done with you. Apostrophe apostrophe so without a single word I kept on, heading him off here and there. I rounded him up towards the shore, and at last I had him coiled on a spit, his heels in the water, and nothing but sea and sky at his back, with my horse pawing the sand, and shaking his head within a yard of him. He folded his arms on his breast then, and stuck his chin up in a sort of desperate way, but I wasn't to be impressed by the beggar's posturing. Says I, you're a runaway convict. Apostrophe apostrophe, when he heard French, his chin went down and his face changed. I deny nothing, apostrophe says he, panting yet, for I had. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.